Before I do the second reading, I wanted to introduce myself. Is that loud enough? Yes? Okay. All right. My name is Lucinda McGill-Adendra, and if you are a visitor, I am not the pastor of this church. Neither is Angela, in fact. Neither are we the interim pastor at this moment. She is leading a retreat at somewhere. Right now, and our called pastor is on maternity leave for the next month. So anyway, we believe here in the priesthood of all believers, and therefore, even though I'm a teacher, I get to preach today, which I'm very excited about. So I'm the mom of the redheads and member of many teams at TAB. I'm a lover of this community and its people. I'm an armchair theologian and an aspiring activist. I'm not trained as a preacher. I'm a teacher. So please hold my reflections today in that spirit and pray with me that, that I have made room for God to speak today. I know that I'm sharing today something that may be obvious to many of us who are sitting here. And hopefully, even in my reflections, there might be something for God to say to you this morning. So I'm grateful for this time to share with you. Please hear the second reading, which is from Luke 19, and I'll be reading from the Inclusive Bible. Luke 19, 39 through 42. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd told Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus replied, "I tell you, if they were kept silent, the very stones would cry out." Coming within sight of Jerusalem, Jesus wept over it and said, "If only you had known the path to peace today, but now it has been hidden from your eyes." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Breathe on me, breath of God, and fill us all with life anew. That we would love what you love and do what you would do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with a fire divine. Amen. I feel like that's like the only of my favorite hymns that we're not singing today. So as I was preparing for this sermon, I was on Twitter, and on Sunday night, I read a tweet from Richard Rohr, who is a Catholic theologian, and the tweet that he shared on Sunday last week said, "Jesus came to show that we can, and must, trust our human, body-based experience as an honored place to encounter God." And I thought about that, and I thought about the journey that God has been taking me on as I prepared for this sermon. I used to think that it was too mystical or theoretical to think that I could encounter God through nature. I used to think that it was something too ridiculous to be true. But when I think about my actual lived experience through my body, I know that is true. I lived in Ecuador for a short time, and in the city, outside the city where I was living, there's a nature reserve, and part of that is a sacred space for the indigenous people who live there. And in the middle of this field is a large stone. And on the other side of the stone is a pool for something like baptismal ceremonies. Thank you. And as we walked through the field and toward this stone, the energy of the stone just went like right to the center of my being. And I knew that feeling because I had felt that feeling once before. When I was in college, I studied in England, and we went to visit Stonehenge. And At that time, you could get closer to the stones than you can now. So I was able to get, you know, pretty close to the stones, and that same feeling of power, just energy, right, to the center of my being. I didn't really know what to think of it at the time. But having had that second experience, I just chalked it up to God, to understanding that even though no one was speaking at that time, you know, even the stones were crying out about God's energy and God's presence in creation. And so I've always loved that passage from Luke that was talking about the stones crying out in praise to God, because I think even the part of the earth that even the parts of the earth I teach my students are not living still cry out about the presence of God. So that experience is part of many other experiences that I've been lucky enough to have in my life. Experiences of being in nature, being part of God's creation, and feeling the power of the breath of life. But what I've been thinking about the weeks leading up to this sermon was how easy it is for me to forget that connection. It's so easy to forget, in fact, that when the worship team discussed Katie's parental leave and that the theme would be wilderness, internally I sighed. I kept it to myself, but I was thinking, I really don't like the wilderness. I'm a Jersey girl, and I grew up going to the mall more than I grew up going to the woods. I married a Vermonter, and going to his house, his family home off of two dirt roads in the middle of Vermont scares the crap out of me. Like, because if I go walking and I like fall in the ditch, like, who's gonna find me? Like, who's gonna find me? Like, so I'm not terribly comfortable in the wilderness. But if I've learned anything in my 35 years, it's that when I proclaim to God, I don't like that, God finds a way to show me something new about God's self. So slowly, as we've been in this theme of wilderness, and I knew I was preaching on Earth Day, God has been helping me understand my hesitation around wilderness and teaching me that if I want to fully encounter God, then I need to be regularly in the wilderness. God's Spirit, kind of like the slow warming of this spring, has helped me understand that my reluctance to find God in the literal wilderness and the metaphorical wilderness is, you know, honestly about my hesitation to worship a God that I don't control. A God whose love knows no boundaries, and who does not fit into the small compartment of my mind that I have labeled divine things. God has been showing me that the breath of life that transformed the clay of the earth into an earth creature is the same breath of life that drives those green shoots up through the barely thawed ground outside. And that's that same breath of life that in our culture right now and in this church right now is calling me to challenge my white privilege every day. And that same breath of life that changes the course of a river calls me to examine the force of materialism in my life. And that same breath of life that created the delicate balance in our atmosphere won't let me hide in my house full of conveniences that are destroying this miracle. Over the past few months, I've come to understand with my mind what has always been understood with my body, that communion with God's energy can be found in communion with the wilderness. Throughout my life, spending time in the wild parts of this world have been vital to renewing, refreshing, and rekindling my understanding that I am part of the wilderness, and that my care for creation is not a benevolent act, but is required for the survival of a source of the divine among us. And just as weekly communion with these saints helps connect me to the energy of God, so does a walk in the woods or listening to the sound of the ocean. Praise God for the pollen. But bringing forth new life. But making it hard to talk today, sorry. I was raised by two scientist Christians, not to be confused with Christian scientists, but my parents, my mother is a dentist and my father is a biology a researcher. Takes pictures of animal cells with an electron microscope. Anyway, they both studied biology in their lives and they both grew up on the ocean. And they taught me that science is a tool to ask the questions about how God is at work in our world. And as a child, I was told of the miracle of water's surface tension and how it makes our bodies possible. I was taught about the power of the ocean to sustain life. And so when I heard about and then read more about forest bathing, I immediately thought about this construct from my childhood. Researchers who study forest bathing are beginning to understand and quantify what humans have always known in their bodies, that we are made, thank you, to be a part of nature. And our very being cries out for the part of God's spirit that is found in the wild. So in an NPR story, it reported about these Japanese forest bathers, people who walk in the forest for around 4 hours. And then they also study people who are walking in the city at the same time. So the people who are walking in the forest, they showed a significant blood pressure drop from 141 down to 134 of their systolic blood pressure after only 4 hours of walking in the forest. And that might not sound like a big difference, but according to this article, it's a significant difference. Researchers also measured the reduction of stress hormones in these same people who are bathing in the forest. And so this is just one example of what we know, that encountering God's nature in the wilderness is good for our body. And not just good for our body in a small way, but in a way that leads to peace and love and possibility for rest and joy. And encountering God's spirit is something that we should be looking for as followers of Christ. So if I know that this is true, what am I doing about it? Is basically what God asked me while I was washing dishes one day. I guess I was listening to like one more story on NPR about climate change and its effects. And like water that is running down a rock, I guess it finally put a groove in that rock and got to me, where I was able to realize that I have been sheltered by my privilege and by my small attempts at activism. And I have not fully taken responsibility for my culpability in the crime of climate change. I'm not fully able to understand, or I have been reluctant to fully take stock of what I do every day and what I allow to happen that is transforming our world from a beautiful Eden into something that might not be able to sustain life. And it's so easy for me to go through my life and not be connected to that reality. Because the way that I live my life never has to touch wilderness. I never have to be part of nature if I don't want to be. And I can say for myself that this separation has caused me to be able to deny what's going on in our world right now. I can hear about it, and I can understand the data and the personal stories, but I don't have to act because I can separate myself from God's creation so easily. So that occurs to me as I'm standing there washing the dishes, and I start to ask myself, you know, what can I do about it? And the thinking that I've come to today is about what I've been sharing, is I want to be much more deeply connected to the breath of life. I want to find God's spirit in the wilderness. And I want to do that over on a regular basis. So if I begin to use less stuff, drive my car less, throw out less things, talk to my elected representatives more, teach my students, I know that I will become weary, because there are so many things in our world that separate us from our need for creation. The story of the empire, the story of our modern consumption, is that I need more things to help protect me from nature, and that I'm not really part of it. Even our Christian history teaches us that we are better than the rocks, that we are better than the birds of the air, somehow special. And so my commitment today, I'm standing here in front of everyone to say, is I really want to listen. I want to listen to the stones as they cry out in praise of God. And when I become tired, and when I become discouraged, I will find the breath of life. Because we know that we can only sustain the work of justice in our world when we understand that we are not the saviors of the world alone, but we are part of the symphony that God has orchestrated. That singing hymns and holding hands in prayer every week in this space reminds us that we are connected to each other. So walking in the woods and watching a flower grow up between the cracks of the sidewalk, or marveling at the birds and how they soar and make their nests, I want to use that to remind me that I am part of creation and that I need creation to be connected fully to God's Spirit. Not just intellectually, you know, understanding carbon dioxide and oxygen and greenhouse gas, the greenhouse effect, but I want to physically and continually go back to Eden and listen for that breath of life. We went walking in the Wissahickon two weeks ago, I guess, and Elizabeth, my daughter, would not stop staring at the creek as it rushed down. I kept trying to pry her off the fence and keep walking along because her brother and her father were way far ahead of us. But she was just so fascinated and in awe of this rushing water. And so obviously, eventually, I too was in awe at the moving of the water. And I just couldn't help but see God's voice, to hear God's voice in so much of even just that little patch of nature that we have in the middle of Philadelphia. I don't think it takes much to be called wilderness. I think it just takes us to listen and to find God speaking to us in creation and understand that that voice of the Spirit through creation, through the water, through the air, through the animals, through the rocks, is different than how God speaks to us through people. That's just my understanding at this moment, is that we can learn things differently, we can feel things differently through God's creation. And that can help us to understand our relationship with God and how God wants us to be in relationship with each other. And so I know that in order to be connected to God's Spirit in nature, it takes a lot of work to consciously break down the barriers that allow me to forget my need for creation. But for me right now, I'm feeling like that's vital. If I'm going to arrest my participation in the destruction of the planet, if I'm going to speak out against the Pharisees that want to keep God only in the realm of the humans, then I need to keep repeating the steps of removing the barriers from creation in my life, listening to God's Spirit in creation, and repeating that again and again and again. So just as we come to this place to remind ourselves that the breath of life is in all of us, and by God's great love, we are connected to each other. And in that love, we find strength and we find courage to make way for God's kingdom in this life. God's kingdom, which is full of wild beauty, crying out and shouting praise. And if we listen to the beauty of God's creation, then we will have the joy of joining in.